You brought up epistemology. Epistemology and ontology. Epistemology is the study of knowledge. Ontology, it could be called the study of beingness. Metaphysical epistemology, ooh, big words, means an understanding of how, understanding of the process of knowing and the formation of experience according to the nature of mind and the relative development of consciousness or relative soul evolution. Thus, on the spiritual path, there's an expansion of knowing, progressive expansion of sensitivity that leads to a continual expansion of knowing that leads to a continual refinement of experience and subtlety of perception, expansion, increasing expansion of perception, meaning you can perceive more, that's sensitivity, leading to greater wisdom, comprehension, and understanding, which establishes a progressively finer or more subtle experience of life, which approaches ultimately unity and freedom from all illusion. So, as you were speaking, I thought many things like avidya establishes ahamkara, meaning ignorance, avidya, meaning not knowing infinity, or having dualistic consciousness, or fashioning thoughts and feelings, or having thoughts and feelings in mind, and defining our experience by the thoughts and feelings that arise in the mind, in the dualistic consciousness and the sense of self. That whole process is avidya, or that is based on avidya, and that forms or is associated with ahamkara, or the sense of self. And so, avidya defines ahamkara. And when avidya or ignorance dissolves increasingly, ahamkara dissolves increasingly. And in William Blake, the adept, the poet, in his three-part schema of soul evolution, he talked about innocence as pertaining to childhood, which is very akin to second density, animal life, actually. And then experience, which is very akin to third density, life or self-consciousness, but even fourth and fifth too. And then higher innocence, which is akin to freedom from conflict or return to one. A simplicity, purity of mind, akin to the child phase or the animal phase. Ross said the crystallized healer has no will. The animal has no free will. The child has a very weak understanding of free will because they have a very amorphous or dissolved sense of self or identity. They're not fully in the dualistic self-consciousness yet. And in fact, Nityananda said that children below a certain age still have their prana all in the sushumna, meaning their energy circulation is fully in the central channel, something like that. This is beyond my level, meaning that they haven't, their mind hasn't isn't yet differentiated into self and other, and right and wrong, and better and worse, and time and space, and past, present, future, and right and what's good and what's bad, or what I should and shouldn't do, or even free will is not well established. So that's the phase of innocence. And then the phase of experience in the middle leads, through trial and error, and that's the path of evolution, polarity, and then that eventually empties out into unity, or oneness, sixth density, unified self, which is not the end of the path, but is free of experience, or is the product of rich, multi-incarnational, multi-dimensional experience of polarity, of conflict, of right and wrong and karma. And interestingly, that phase of experience is akin to how avidya fashions personal experience. Meaning, in Buddhism, it's understood that the awakened one, complete and perfect enlightenment, involves no more arising of the five skandhas. Now, the Gautama sure could be called to have a body. Who said that he has a physical body and sensations arise, and had, you know, qualities of perception, third skanda, and was able to fashion thought in teaching, fourth skanda samskara, and fifth had some consciousness of the whole thing. But in his own process, he wouldn't consider what we call his body as body, or sensations in body in the same way as we see it, nor perception, nor fashionings, fourth skanda, samskara, conceivings, or consciousness. For that person, for that one, what we would, from the outside, call the arising of the five skandhas, meaning he still has a body with sensation, still seems to have some, you know, range of perception or perceptual ability and ability to speak it, and consciousness of the whole thing. From his perspective, those, he's not experiencing the five skandhas. Now, it's by way of naming activity that experience is fashioned. You see, experience is born of conceiving. We naming activity. We name and identify our experience. We, by naming, even consider we're having experience. So when you're talking about epistemology or theory of knowledge, knowing is a fashioned experience, fashioned by conceiving. When there's freedom from naming activity, there's no more experience. The being is free of experience. They have no more experience. Just like Ross said, we have no memory. They'll have no memory when they go to seventh density. There's no more referential experiencing, referential meaning reference or relational. You and me, or me and my past or my future, or me as subject and you or the other outside as object. That relationality of subject, object, inside, outside, actor and the environment, or in the mind, right? I perceive or experience or name or know something called past yesterday, present today, and something I imagine tomorrow, future. All of that is fashioning experience. All of that supposed knowing is fashioned experience, born of basically not seeing reality. Not realizing, you know, as Ross said, you're not living in a material universe, you're dancing thoughts. Your dancing thoughts means vibrating light, which is itself a concept in the mind of infinity. In the infinite mind field of infinity, or in the infinite field of infinity, all that we experience, including body, including mind, including consciousness itself, is vibrating light, which itself is a mind process in infinity. And when we're free of all chakra blockages, there's no more fashioning of experience, and so you can say that knowing has ended, because knowing is the product of fashioned experiencing, or fashioning of experience, which is all relational, or subject-object, or subjectivist, meaning me fashioning by way of my conceiving. I conceive based on perception, or I conceive that I have such a thing called perception that I then can translate into conception or naming activity. All that is samskara. All that's fashioned. It's all avidya. It's all avidya. And so, at the end of avidya, there's no more knowing, there's no more experience, However, there is infinite sentience. Infinite presence is omnipresence. Infinite sentience is omniscience. 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 And then we have omnipotence, which is the basic power that allows that infinite knowing and infinite presence as it is. You know, the support, the fuel, or the capacity for such infinite presence and infinite knowing is omnipotence or omnipotence or infinite will or power. And so there's only the destruction of ignorance, and by that comes the end of avidya-based, fashioned knowing and experience formation. Avidya-based or ignorance-based naming activity is the fashioning of experience or supposed knowing. My experience is that which I consider I know. I deem that I know that I am Scott sitting here with you. That I have an experience of talking with you. Well, that's the product of knowing, which is itself the result of a vidya-based relational samskara fashioning that ultimately forgets that this is vibrating light, doesn't realize it has all sorts of separative ignorance-based assumption. And again, it's simply you can think it out, but one isn't free of fashioning or free of the skandhas or the five skandhas. One isn't free of the ignorance-based fashioning of experience by naming activity knowing. One's not free of that until the seven rays are fully developed, until the energy system becomes transparent to infinity, and then freedom from all ignorance and all dualistic eye-making, and even and freedom from restlessness. And you can think the goal, but that's not the goal. And the only way to achieve the goal is a complete, profound transubstantiation of the seven ray, seven chakra energy system, the total octave self, and thereby its consciousness and awareness, or consciousness going into returning to infinite awareness. So from the absolute perspective, you see, the water that comes down the mountain enters a thousand streams. If we define the water in the stream by its form, meaning this is the stream number one, or that's stream number 12 over there, then we forget that the substance of the stream is the same as the mountain, the water at the top of the mountain. So the seven rays come out of, or are differentiations in form, which is like frequency and color. Those are form-based or form differentiations of one substance, which is intelligent energy, which is itself the manifestation of infinity, or the desire of infinity to experience apparent finity, the concept of light and the concept of finity. To experience the concept of finity, it's not a real thing, it's just a concept. It's not, it's a thought form. The octaves are thought forms. Now, all the words you use, there are many different Sanskrit words there, and they all do have differentiated meaning, of course. So, avidya, meaning basic ignorance or restlessness-based sense of self, or ahamkara, relational dualistic consciousness, is what constitutes avidya. Avidya is basically the seven rays not realizing that their nature is infinity. You can say that. Lila means play. And from the logoic perspective, or infinity's perspective, the one infinite creator's perspective, I assume, because I'm not fully back there, but I'm not fully, you know, enlightened, so how do I know? But it seems to me, from my down here at the bottom of the mountain, that the manifestation of the octaves, which is the generation of light, which is exploration of the concept of finity via the concept of light, experiencing or providing the basis for the experience of what Ra calls the illusion of limits, that system, that creation, or, you know, infinite creation, is enjoyable to the one infinite creator. I don't think that it's a burden. And so that's why it's called Lila, like play, that it's enjoyable, free exploration. And then, you know, you use some other words, so you can ask about each one, but they're all differentiations. So the you know, the one infinite, or Parabrahman, or Satchitananda, or whatever you want to call the one infinite, or infinity, intelligent infinity, has, I would assume, you know, enjoyable experience of infinite shimmering intelligent energy, meaning all creation. That's Lila. But from our perspective, seeking to be free of illusion, seeking to penetrate and drop our belief in this illusion of limits, meaning seeing differentiation but not seeing infinity, experiencing or fashioning the experience of limitation rather than being free of fashioning and thus experiencing the source of light. Right? Light is fashion too. And so free of fashioning means free of knowing, free of experience, but it also, you know, in this case, is a return to infinitude. So anyway, thank you for being here and the sharing. Actually, it's very fulfilling for me too. Take good care and see you next time. Okay, good night.